What's up?
Hey, buddy. How much did y'all did Will pay Jordan? Holy crap. How you doing, Mike?
What's up, buddy?
Little candy liquor in the background as we get moving here. There's our buddy Kale Hall. Greetings, Kale.
What's up?
Kale, how you doing, friend? You getting ready to no, it's real clear. Yeah. All right. Get a minute for some folks to come in here. So while we're before we start the show real quick, I appreciate all the folks watching on YouTube, but I have to ask you, Kale, actually, you know what, we'll start the show and then we'll get into that because there is some silliness with YouTube. Holy crap. Anyway. All right, Kale, you ready to go? Mike, you ready?
Ready.
Yep.
Well, welcome into the Robin Comrade and Kale Show, the podcast that divides the Palmetto State. I am Rob Sanders, one of your three hosts here this evening. On this podcast, I represent the Clemson Tigers, winners of two of the last four national championships. We are a gong show basketball with both teams. Our softball team is doing fairly decent, but we are existing right now when it comes to spring sports. Baseball's picked up. I have two co-hosts. The first, I tell you what, why don't we start with the bald man from the upstate? He is, of course, the proprietor of the YouTube channel, Carolina Jackpot. Kale Hall joins the show. Kale, what's up, brother?
What's going on? It's great to be here Sunday night. Ready to kick off the work week. Well, I already kicked mine off. Well, actually, I work every fucking day, so here lately. But yep. For the rest of you, did you see any white stuff yesterday down your way?
Hell no.
I did not in Columbia. I'm not. Rob lives about three blocks from me, which is scary. no snow here. Just kind of cold. This, but no snow.
The gentleman speaking there is the third leg of this show. He is the dirty Russian. He is Vladimir Putin's water boy. The last man on the Will Muschamp bus. The comrade Mike Dobreski. Mike, welcome to the show.
Welcome. I could be named to the coaching staff soon. I'm waiting for my phone to ring. I'm available. I mean, I'm gonna have to talk money a little bit, talk with the wife, because I assume it's a busy job. But I'm here for Will. Well,
they went 4-8, so probably not. You probably could just show up and just still go 4-8.
I'm here for Boom. I think I can be a quality control type person. You know,
No, that's not your job. Your job is to be the press secretary for the Gamecock basketball.
I don't want to recruit. I have no interest in recruiting.
Oh God!
I think the idea of recruiting just makes me want to,
yeah,
puke. I hate being in sales or all that stuff. So, I'll be quality control. Check the practice film each day.
All right.
Give my suggestions. Holy talk about using shit. The fullback.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're brought to you by a couple of fine sponsors this evening. Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. Shout out to Cheddar Bob and Billy. Go by and check them out. Highway 1 diagonal from the Walmart in West Columbia. They have the best booze. I think I can get away with that. The best beer, the best wings, all of that at Callaway's. Retro Video Games as well. The only Golden Tea Lounge in the Midlands. Go and check that out. In fact, Mike and Billy Muse were at the Florida National Tournament. They went down to Orlando. They're down there, partaking. So, also, we have the No Spin Zone segment with our good friend Dennis Wilson from DNC Trucking and Transport, who is right now on the fence because he's debating on whether we can get some truth out of Kale Hall. But we do have truth with the comrade. Comrade, read away.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. President Kaslin is a documented liar. Do you want to know how bad Will Muschamp sucks? He has had multiple members of his staff leave in the past couple of days. Let us all pray for Tavian Feaster. He made a mistake going to South Carolina, and the coaching staff misused him. Now he does not get a combine invite. Yep. Gamecock fans want Ray Tanner fired. It's really sad. He may end up as Monty Lee's third base coach. I hope Dennis Wilson will move to have Cale Hall speak some truth. The show needs more Rob Sanders, the star of the show, and more truth for myself and Cale Hall. Remember, it sucks to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. Thank you, Dennis. Good stuff as always. We appreciate Dennis supporting the show. Why don't we jump into that real quick? Because that was kind of the big news here. Actually, before we get into that, a couple of quick things. One, Cale, you were talking about snowfall up there, man. Did that shut the state down in the upstate?
No. We had a winter wonderland going on for about 3 or 4 hours. And when it stopped, man, it stopped. And shit was gone. I'd never seen snow melt so fast. And after I got off work last night at like 6 o'clock, I drove up to Hendersonville.
Right.
And there was no snow there at all, which I thought was weird.
Very weird. By the way.
Yeah, they usually get a good dose of it there.
Yeah. Well, by the way, folks should be checking out the Carolina Jackpot video because Cale drank some NC State beer. Highly, highly recommend you go and check out that episode. I won't give it away here, but it's,
yeah, I think it's that's some good stuff. I had a 12 pack of that, man.
And it's gone.
Well, it wouldn't last. I'll tell you that. I might not like their football team, but their beers are all right.
Yeah, their beers are fine. Well, anyway, getting back to one other thing, too. Of course, we're streaming on YouTube Live now as well as on Facebook Live. You YouTube folks, there are some vicious mofos in this YouTube group, Cale. I don't know what the hell's going on with this, but everybody is like ranting on Cale. Cale's a chunky bastard. Cale is this. They ripped the comrade. I mean, and a lot of them are Georgia fans, by the way, who are the one fan base who should really shut their fucking mouth. They haven't won anything since 1981, and you lost to a 4-8 South Carolina team coached by Will Muschamp, probably one of the worst coaches in a Power 5 conference, and you want to run your mouth? The two gentlemen that are here and myself? Okay. YouTube.
I see the comment there from Dennis Wilson. Dennis Wilson said, could Cale make any more noise? I don't know, okay. Dennis. Let's try. Woo!
Holy shit.
Dennis Wilson does not like it. Here's the thing. Dennis Wilson does not like people who are going bald and who tower over him. He doesn't like LeBron James. He doesn't like me. I tower over him. And he doesn't like Cale Hall. That's the thing. If you tower over Dennis and are balding, he does not like you. The only exception is David Butts. He doesn't like David Butts. David Butts is 4'8" and doesn't tower over anybody. He doesn't like David Butts. But that's just common. No one likes David Butts. So
we have somebody, a YouTuber troll on last week's show, either Sunday or Wednesday, named Hurricane Tyrone, who said that Carolina Jackpot was a racist because he cracked on the Miami football program. No. I'm sorry. I didn't know that shitty football was a race.
Is that Tyrone Quarles, you think?
No, it's not.
No.
The minister?
Quarles.
Minister Tyrone?
No.
Hurricane Tyrone.
Maybe. I don't think it's Tyrone Quarles, though.
No.
Is it Demarek Jones, who is RuPaul, really? That's who it really is?
No, that guy. Really? Wow.
Georgia fans should like Rob, though, because I tell you what, he was on here for about a month straight after we beat Georgia crying about Hedges.
Yep.
I mean, he really took up for you guys. I mean, I swear to God, I think he had a GoFundMe page for the Hedges to to get them replanted or something. It was unreal.
Fucking go. Is that the route we're going to go this evening there, comrade?
I'm just saying. Remember when I was the kid, Sally Struthers from All in the Family? She used to do that stuff for, like, you know, a charity for, like, Feed a Child. Like, Rob was doing that for a month for, like, you know, Grow the Hedges back.
For you. Hold on. When all that stuff came out with Sally Fields, you want to know, or was it with
Sally Struthers? Not Sally Fields. Sally Struthers.
Whoever the hell she is. Sam Kinison had the right idea with that. Move to where the fucking food is. It's the same bit forever, and it still works. Move to where the fucking food is.
But by the way, Jonathan Boatwright looks like he's a Bills fan, which I respect. But now he's picking on our Red Sox. I mean, don't hate on the Red Sox.
You're fucking terrible.
Four World Series titles in the last 15 years. Deal with it.
Jonathan and someone named Delta 800 over on YouTube said Carolina Jackpot looks like the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man. First of all, it's Stay, S-T-A, Puff Marshmallow Man. Fucking Nimrods. Number two, let's see what kind of Adonis-like body you have. Show it off for us.
That was going to be my next thing with that, because a lot of these guys will all run their mouths, and one of them said, Rob doesn't have a neck. Rob doesn't have a neck. Cool. So let me make sure that I understand this. We come on this motion here Sunday and Wednesday night, and you could see all of our blemishes and everything else. The only one that uses Snapchat filters is the comrade, but the rest of us are just live and in living color here. And you simple bastards have the audacity to sit here and run your mouth, but then you look at your YouTubers, whatever, and it's nothing but a Georgia logo or what the hell ever. Stop it. You're probably sitting on the couch, fucking weighing 900 pounds, eating bonbons, and saying, oh, you don't like this show because they don't like my bulldogs. And you know what? A special shout out to Uncle Lou. That guy's a fucking idiot too. He needs to shut his mouth. I went back and forth with him a couple of months ago on Twitter. That motherfucker is dumber than dog shit. I mean, he is dumb. I'm sorry.
Come on now.
He's an idiot.
Come on. He gave us a plug the other night.
That's fine, but I know that you and him have like, I mean, you guys have like the bromance of bromances. You don't want to talk about it, but you two are in love with each other. And he probably loves the comrade too. But
who doesn't love me?
No one loves you. I appreciate his show, though. I do have to put his show over. Uncle Lou does do good stuff on his show. But in general, he's an asshole. But thanks for listening to the show there, Uncle Lou. We appreciate you. Kale's like, now I got to clean that shit up, Rob. Thanks for that, dickhead.
Yeah. That's more work to add to the
more work. Thanks for that. Damn it. Anyway. No, I'm not joking. I like Uncle Lou's show. He's just the Georgia apologist, but there's plenty of them that watch that we appreciate them. All right, but real quick before we got to get into the wonderful world of there are people leaving this football program like crazy, and I think everybody's just trying to get out of this sinking ship theory. Kale, I tell you what, we're gonna let Comrade go first. Because the comrade would be, if Will Muschamp was going to hire him, he would hire him to be the guy that would spin everything. That's where he would come from. So, comrade, give us the why Gamecock fans should be happy that all this is going on.
Why this should be what? Osmistic? You cut it out there.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Why do you think everybody should be happy? Or it's
listen, I can't really spin this. Other to say a couple of things. Okay, it's not good. And here's the thing. The reason why Clemson's been so good for so long, it's not Dabo, because Dabo couldn't coach a freaking damn Pop Warner team, okay? Don't interrupt me! I'm getting to it. The reason why Clemson's been so good is because they keep their coaches. And they have good coaches. And every year, teams either come after them and they don't want to leave. I mean, I'm not sure what kind of deal they have with New Spring Church or what they're doing, but they don't leave. And the reason why Bama has looked somewhat mortal over the past few years is because they have had a huge turnover in their coaching staff. And even the great Nick Saban, who is a 10 times better coach than Dabo, even he can't overcome that. And so when you see this mass exodus for the Gamecocks, it's not good. Now, I don't blame these guys. The one thing I'll say, it's not a a thing about Will Muschamp. The issue is that they understand that he's on the hot seat, okay? And when you get a job offer from the NFL or get a job offer from Penn State, say, a coach who's not in the hot seat, I mean, it's a pretty good career move to say, I want some more security. And Will Muschamp, I'm sure they're not angry at Muschamp. I mean, they're looking out for, and I'm sure Muschamp, you know, as much as he probably told him to stay, understands, hey, I get it. You know, you're getting a deal, NFL, and you get a little more security. You get a deal at Penn State. I get it. And that's why last year was such a tough year, because it gets the talk of the hot seat going on. If the Gamecocks win a few more games and, you know, pulled out some things and go 7-6 or whatever, then suddenly you're not talking hot seat, and those guys probably don't leave. They don't. They feel, hey, we're good, we're progressing. But now, you know, Muschamp enters the season on the hot seat, and if he's in the hot seat, everyone's in the hot seat, and that's not a real good situation. If you have family and you're a coach and you're trying to make sure you get your bills paid. So, I get it. It's not good news. It makes next year tougher. It makes Will Muschamp his job tougher to save now, because you need good coaches. And now he's kind of behind the eight ball, but, it's not real good. Someone said before earlier, Taylor, I think up here said, just cancel the 2020 season. And he was kind of joking, being sarcastic. But yeah, it feels kind of.
Maybe he wasn't.
That was Delta. It was Delta 900. He said, I vote we cancel the 2020 season. The coaches who have left were the best in all the country. No hope. Woe is me. And he's put down sarcasm. I think he's kind of mocking. I don't know. But listen, it's not good news. I'm not going to spin this saying, oh, man, we got rid of some bad coaches. We didn't. I know Fred Spivey said, well, the truth is they weren't doing a really good job anyway. Well, yeah, whatever. I mean, now you got to go find some coaches at the last minute. Most people have jobs, so it's not going to be easy. So it's not good news for Gamecock Land. Not good news at all.
Kale, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I think the biggest one of those departures that's going to hurt us is Thomas Brown. I think Marshawn Lloyd pretty much came to South Carolina so he could get coached up by Thomas Brown. So that was going to hurt. But, I mean, you can't blame them. I was once told that it's lots easier to find a job or to get a new job when you've got a job. And I'm sure these people, I mean, we don't know it, but I'm sure these guys on these staffs get job offers all the time. I mean, somebody calling them up, this and that. And, these guys, I know they see the writing on the wall. I mean, they really do, and they don't want to be sitting here in December as a member of a fired football staff, and now they have to all of a sudden go out and try to find something for next year. It might not be there. So good moves for them, but still got your offensive coordinator, still got your defensive coordinator. The pieces are there. But losing that running backs coach is going to hurt. A lot of people are making a big deal out of the defensive line coach being gone. I don't know. I mean, it's not like we set the world on fire as far as sacking the quarterback and quarterback pressures last year. So, I don't know. I mean, he made a good career move, I think. I mean, to Penn State, leaving South Carolina for Penn State. Right. I mean, who wouldn't do that? And, Brown, what is he going? LA Rams?
Rams, yeah.
McClendon.
The Steelers.
McClendon going to the Pittsburgh Steelers, which, I mean, I think we all knew that he wasn't going to stick around anyway. Yeah. I mean, he's not going to be a demoted offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
He's not going to stick around.
I think that was a good move for the two guys going to the NFL. I completely get it. If you have an opportunity to coach in the NFL, that's an opportunity you have to take. I do think that one of the interesting things with the running backs coach with Brown, Muschamp redid his contract to make sure that Brown got the raise that he needed to stay here. So Muschamp extended the olive branch to him, but he had the opportunity to go and coach there. I think the one thing that, and this happens and is part of college football, this is not just a South Carolina thing. This is a thing across the board, in my opinion. It sucks for the kids that are at that school or the recruits that were coming in that thought, like a Lloyd, guys like that, that they had the opportunity to come in, and this is the guy that recruited him. That's the guy that's going to be there and have the big relationship with the parents and everything else. So it sucks across the board on that front. But for this season, I feel the worst for McClendon for the most part. He had to go somewhere else. I mean, staying in South Carolina is just basically, in my opinion, that's not playing ball. That's just like, I'm just staying because I need a job. I mean, he needed to get out of there quickly. And this comes back to the Muschamp thing on that front, too, where Muschamp goes through offensive coordinators like I go through underwear all the time. I mean, and that's just the way that it is. And he was a victim of that. Being an offensive
What a visual. That was.
I've heard from a reliable source.
Coordinator.
You wear the same pair 3 days in a row.
That's fine. Being an offensive coordinator for Will Muschamp is committing career suicide. Simple as that. That's just the way that it is. No offensive coordinator has done well under him, and he'll have his final year of coaching here, and then he may end up coaching at Hawaii or some shit school like that, but he'll never get another
pop. Why is Hawaii a shit school? Why you got to pick in Hawaii for? What's Hawaii to you?
Five school. If you're not in the Power Five, you're a shit
school. It's a shit school. So it's a shit school. He just upset Thomas Dana Young. He's a Furman fan. Thomas Dana Young said, hear this, pull his patron money. That pull his patron money after hearing that.
Hawaii hires high flying, air it out, air raid coaches.
Well, that, June Jones, kind
of Will Muschamps.
That's why they're going to go the different route, Cale. They're going to go and hire somebody else. But I can't turn my camera over here, but there's a warehouse behind me, and it was where I keep all of my Fox, and it's all empty. So sorry, guys. If you're not in a Power Five, it doesn't really matter in football. Sorry about that. Anyway, but yeah, I don't like the way that works. Just kind of shitting. Cale, you have anything else that you want to throw in on the coaches, man? Because I thought about you. I was like, man, Cale's probably like, damn it. I knew the comrade would be like, ah, this is all right. We'll be all right.
I'm not. It wasn't good news. But listen, I'm getting in baseball mode now. We're less than a week away now from the yard cocks, as I call them.
I'm just interested to see who they find for replacements, especially now. This is a bit late in the game. It really
Eric Kimry. Get Eric Kimry. Get him. That's serious.
Why would he
fade in, fade out?
Yeah, he coaches running backs.
I'll bring him in as a as the quarterback guy, kind of shift Bentley around a little bit, make Bentley the running back coach again or whatever.
I saw that linebacker Shane Burnham from back in the 90s. He should have probably been there when you were there, comrade.
Yeah, he was.
He wants that job.
Yep, his dad Wally Burnham was on the staff.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of late in the game. I'm not sure who's out there, but it's not good news. I mean, it's not good news at all. It's setting up pretty bad. Maybe they'll surprise us because, you know, we have a fullback. Hello, fullback offense. Holding on to that. But maybe next year, you know, the ball bounces our way. Maybe next year, you know, we get off to a good start. We get a couple of breaks there. We stay healthy, and we get a little momentum going. And things just turn around, you know, and maybe it all turns around and we're here a year from now talking about the rise of the Gamecocks, you know, and Clemson and the death penalty at the NCAA kind of figures out what they're doing. Things can change. Things can change quickly, folks. They can change quickly. As a Red Sox fan, I realize that it can change in a heartbeat.
Well, you guys stop cheating. You're not worth a shit.
Scraps King says over on YouTube, the ACC is the top of the Power Five.
Yeah,
I agree. If you take all the conferences and rank them here, and then you take it and you invert it like this, the ACC is at the top.
Holy shit. Wow, that's bad. Where is that guy from?
Anyway, I know him. I know Scratch King. He's just being silly.
Yeah. Well, all right. Moving along. Did you guys watch any of the XFL this weekend?
I did. I watched the Defenders. I think that's my new team. I put a tweet out there this week, and people got mad. I don't know why. But I asked who's your team. I like the Defenders because I like the name. The fact they're not in Washington, D.C. They're not Washington. They're the D.C. Defenders. I like the colors. I like the logo. Yeah. I like the XFL. And here's what I like about it. They are minimizing the kicker. And I can't stand kickers. I can't stand punters. I can't stand kickers. Okay. How should I say this? I don't want to offend people here. I just, that's not a fun part of football for me. I want more football and less guys kicking field goals from 48 yards out. Like, that is not, I can't stand that. What I think they should do, okay? If you don't know, the XFL has a rule that when you score a touchdown, you can get 1, 2, or 3 points. You can go from the 2-yard line to get 1 point, the 5-yard line to get 2 points, or the 10-yard line to get 3 points. It is awesome. The NFL should do that tomorrow. Tomorrow, make that rule, okay?
Okay.
Here's my other rule I do. I would say no field goals either. Okay, they don't do this now. I would say no field goals.
All right.
Your choices are to go for it or to punt it. But here's the thing about punting now. You don't have a punter on your team. Okay. You have to choose a player, one of the 11 guys who ran the last offensive play to punt the ball. Okay? So it's all football players. It's no specialist. It's no place kicker. It's no punter. It's all the football players. And that also will make you not want to punt the ball as much. That's my. If I was the XFL, they should have done that. That's my dream scenario. Phase out kickers completely.
Okay.
I think it's crappy. And here's another thing. Think of this idea. Instead of kickoffs, think of this right now. Instead of kickoffs, you have throw-offs. Okay? Imagine this. Imagine Brett Favre. Okay? Being the one who he can aim it in the corner of the end zone. Okay? He can wheel it out there. You have your backup quarterback who has a strong arm, like Jamarcus Russell back in the day, that can't read shit for defenses, and he's your throwing guy. It'd be awesome. Okay? It'd be awesome. Let's use it in the backyard. Your backyard, you kicked off, you threw it, you know. So you show off people's arms, you show off football, but it's more football. So the XFL is a good start. I would go one more direction. The other part I love too is I love the gambling degenerate in me loves the fact that on the scoreboard they have the point spread and the over and under sitting right there. That is the greatest thing ever. Like, that is like my dream. Like, I have fantasies about that. That is what I love that right there. I love the embrace of sports gambling. Okay, it's no longer treating people who like to gamble like we're some kind of freaks. It's out in the open now. Mainstream it. I love it.
Okay. Caleb, you watch?
No, I didn't. I didn't catch any of that. I really didn't.
Well, let's move on to our next thing. I'll give you my opinion on the XFL later. But
we've had some good punters over the years, South Carolina. So hey.
That's what Glenn said. Your best player is your punter. How can you hate
kickers? Yeah, go to Google 1979 South Carolina versus Clemson. Jay Phelps, 80-yard punt inside 2 minutes to go, pins the Taters back on the 3-yard line. We win 13-9.
Fair enough, Cale. Fair enough.
Tom O'Connor.
Derwin Jeffcoat.
Derwin Jeffcoat, a buddy of mine. He was crazy.
It's amazing. Yeah. Cale knows all the names of the fucking punter.
Hannah Pamplico High School in Florence.
Let me tell you a story. Derwin Jeffcoat used to, in the roost, okay, we have these narrow hallways that go to your rooms. He would stand at the end of one hallway with a golf ball and a driver and hit a ball down the hallway, have it ricochet off of that. And he was so freaking crazy that I was walking in the hallway trying to get into my room, and he was like, I'm going to go hit right now. And I thought, like, whatever, he's going to wait. Okay, I'm getting my key, and I can see he starts to swing. I'm suddenly got a key in the door, and I, like, dive my room. All I hear is golf ball. Boom, 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 boom. I almost died that night. Almost died. I'm a punter. That's probably, I'm only punter. That's, what it, that's probably why my punter thing is in there. I don't know. Just don't like punters. All right.
Well, the next thing I want to get into this evening, we had the Duke-North Carolina basketball game last night. And maybe I'm on the wrong end of this, and maybe my co-host can help me, but everybody and their brother talks about, oh, that is the greatest rivalry in sports. It's not even in the top fucking five. Stop with that nonsense. It's stupid. I can't believe people, oh, with the Duke and North Carolina game. Or Mike Krzyzewski and Roy Williams. First of all, both of those guys are fucking insane. Especially Roy Williams. He is a complete idiot.
That's Dabo's buddy. That's Dabo's life mate.
I don't give a shit.
They're the same dude. They're the same exact dude.
I don't give a shit.
They are the same dude.
I'm tired of how great this rivalry is. It's not that great. I don't get up for it. Both of those teams lost to Clemson. Okay? When that happens, it's not a good rivalry. I don't give a shit.
First of all, what in the world were they wearing yesterday? Okay, first of all, it's a great rivalry.
What the hell was that? Did they go down the street to like Big
Lots and
get their jerseys? What the hell was that?
I think it was the Champs Sports
uniforms.
That was horrible. That was horrible. But I do love that the Tar Heels lost. I love watching Roy Williams tear up. I love seeing him so sad at the press conference.
He's a shithead.
I just love it. I mean, you know, I mean, he was sitting up. He wasn't there long. I mean, he was there for a real short time. I think his players in the locker room only got one degree while he was in actually talking. It was so short. But, I mean, it's so happy to see him miserable and just upset because he actually is not a really good coach. Never has been. He gets a lot of talent. Okay, he wins because of his talent. But most of the time, he gets out-coached. And this year, his talent's not quite where it is, and their team blows. I love watching him struggle. It's great. And he's Dabo and him are buddies, but they're both the same kind of guy. They're both the same kind of dude. Both douches. Both phonies. That's why they love each other.
Talking about, though, it's not the best rivalry in sports.
No, I'll tell you right now. For college basketball, for those of you down south don't know this, okay, back in the day, Syracuse and Georgetown was better than Duke and UNC because the players hated each other. There were fights. They would fight once a year, Syracuse, like fist fights. Pearl Washington and Patrick Ewing would throw haymakers at each other. It wasn't just like, oh, we don't like you. We don't like you. We're going to shove you. It would be fights. It would be the fans would throw stuff in the court. They would throw oranges at the backboard, oranges at Ewing's head. I mean, that was a better rivalry than this is right now.
Okay, but it's not the best rivalry in sport. I mean, Army-Navy, the Army-Navy football game is a better rivalry, in my opinion. Michigan and Ohio State in football is a better rivalry, in my opinion.
Red Sox-Yankees.
Yeah. I can give you Red Sox-Yankees, but, Kale, you think it's number one overall? It can't be number one.
Duke UNC basketball is the number one rivalry in sports.
That's what you hear from all these Duke fans and these UNC fans that get themselves a degree on the way out through a drive-through window.
Maybe it is when they're both ranked inside the top five, but not this year.
It's just
not this year.
Hey, it's just not. Go ahead.
I gotta admit, I did. Enjoy watching UNC basketball. Back in the day, though, back when Dean was the coach, and they were hell back then. But it's got progressively worse. And that Roy Williams, he's just a damn dick bag.
I'm just not buying it.
Dean Smith and his nose would slap the shit out of him. Okay.
Uh, Did you just say Dean Smith and his nose?
Dean's nose had its own zip code.
Dean was a fraud, too.
Dean's nose like as wide as the comrade's forehead. You could write a map on that bitch.
Hey, that's called.
He was talking about Georgetown, too. Do you remember back in the 80s?
Yeah.
I'm sure Comrade remembers this one, too. When Georgetown and St. John's had a big rivalry.
Yeah.
And St. John's had the old guy coach,
Carnesecca. Yeah.
And he always had these god-awful, ugly-ass sweaters. And they faced off against Georgetown one year, and Big John Thompson opened up his blazer, and he had this ugly-ass fucking sweater on. I thought that was great.
The Biggies was great. Raleigh Massimino.
Raleigh Massimino. Villanova.
Yeah. So they were all, they were all good stuff.
Tiger Nation says that with the T-Hall version of sports shows, let me ask you something there, Tiger
Nation. What do you know about Hee-Haw?
Exactly. What is your problem with Hee-Haw, sir? I watched Hee-Haw. You know what? If they had Hee-Haw right now on Netflix, I'd pull that up and I'd watch that shit tonight. Hee-Haw was awesome. Yeah. If we could get this show to be as big as fucking Hee-Haw, we would be in the road, man.
Buck Owens would kick your ass.
Minnie, in her hat, she'd beat you.
Her and Grandpa Jones.
Damn right.
Rob is maybe he's trying to compliment our show.
No, he's not.
He sounds like a compliment now.
He's typing in all caps. What the hell? That's who's marking us. Hell with you, Tiger Nation. You know what? If we are the Hee Haw, then you're the guy that's like sitting in the stands in your overalls thinking, when the hell's the hot girl coming out to sing in her Daisy Dukes or what the hell ever? Joseph Dixon has a very good point. Auburn and Alabama, Ohio State and Michigan. Red Sox and Yankees, all those are great rivalries. Go ahead.
It's hard to compare college and pro rivalries, though. It's a different kind of makeup. So I don't think you compare the two. But in terms of the greatest college rivalries, I don't think Duke-UNC basketball is number one. I think for college, it's up there. But I would probably take Michigan-Ohio State football over that.
Michigan-Ohio State, Army-Navy. And then you could go
because Duke and UNC is pretty it's still a pretty newer rivalry. I mean, it's really didn't in the 80s. Duke was horrible. Duke didn't get good until the mid 80s and really the 90s. So Duke and UNC weren't rivals in the 70s. Duke was horrible. So Michigan Ohio State football has been a rival since the beginning of time. So that's the only thing. Duke and UNC is still like a 30-year rivalry, maybe, at the most. So,
I just think of rivalries. And somebody was telling me it's the biggest rivalry in sports, and I'm just not buying it. Jonathan Boatwright on Facebook, who is obviously a big fan of the show, says we're all jackasses. I'm fine with that. But he also says the Celtics and Lakers. I'll give you that, too. Maybe not now, but at one point, that was the rivalry of rivalries. Dallas and San Francisco, the 49ers and Cowboys, they had a rivalry at one point. Yeah, but I just don't think Duke and North. See, that's the problem. ESPN tells you that this is a rivalry, so you just sit there and you believe it. Let's be completely honest. When you were watching that game last night, North Carolina is 11-13 on the season. Duke's the seventh-ranked team in the country. You were watching a game with, let's say Clemson. If you're not from this area and you're around the country, you're watching 11-13 Clemson versus the seventh-ranked team in the country, Duke? No. You watch that because ESPN is telling you, you will watch. We have determined that this is good, and we're going to push this on you. And that's why it's such a big rivalry in the eyes of a good bit. But for me, it comes down to the others. I just had to get that off my chest because I couldn't believe people were telling me that. OSU a hardly ever meaningful games, Levi Kale says, because UN is always trash. Same with AU, and the Sox are terrible in general. And besides, in baseball, you just buy titles. That's a valid thing there too.
The Dodgers have been trying to buy a title for 30 years.
I don't get that UM is always trash. I mean, who did they lose to last year? I mean, they barely lost to Penn State, who was a really good team by a touchdown in Happy Valley. Mm-hmm. They did lose to Ohio State, and then who else did they lose to? And did they dismantle Notre Dame? Did they not beat the hell out of Notre Dame?
I can get you a UM hat, Kale, if you want it. I mean,
I don't want that, but I'm just saying. I mean, people give them a shitty time, but I mean, they're consistently winning 10 games a year. I mean, they're making New Year's Six bowls. No, they're not winning the Big Ten. I mean, it's top heavy, and it's hard to win over there with, you know, Ohio State and Penn State that you're competing with. But I mean, he's done a decent job. Jim Harbaugh says, wouldn't you agree? I mean, look at the shit show that they had there with what was his name, Brady Hoke. I mean, they were fucking terrible.
They were terrible.
So they're not. I would say trash is, you know, if you wanted to, you know, throw that moniker on the Gamecocks or something, okay, maybe. But Michigan's not that bad.
I don't know anything about hockey rivalries there, Jonathan Boat, right? I mean, remember, this is the hee-haw of freaking sports shows. We don't watch hockey. We had a hockey team in Columbia, but the game
hockey's something I do out behind the barn.
Hey, Kale, will you sing the hee-haw theme next week?
I can do it now.
Belt it.
It was something like hee-haw, 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 hey.
I'm looking for it now because it's like
it was something like that. I don't know how it started, but I know.
Comrade, you lived up north. Did you know what hee haw is?
I remember seeing it came on our like a cable channel, like a cable access channel thing. It wasn't like I remember seeing it. I don't think I ever watched it.
It came on Channel 7 out of Spartanburg. Yeah. On Saturday nights at like 7 o'clock. Yeah.
Welcome to Hee Haw, starring Buck Owens and Roy Clark.
That's like taking me back to my childhood, man. You had to watch that shit with grandma. I'd be in her house and we're watching freaking Hee Haw. You had to watch Hee Haw. Damn it. I wish we could be as big as Hee Haw. They would laugh at us, though, if we brought this damn Russian with us, him and his Yankee ass.
It was on TV up north, though. I didn't watch it, but it was on, though. I mean, I knew the Hee Haw reference, so it was on up there. There are rednecks in New York, by the way. Just so you know.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are. They're rednecks. They're rednecks in Pennsylvania. Yeah, they're rednecks. Yeah. I mean, redneck doesn't just it's have to do with being thing, from yeah. the South. It's, you know,
trust me,
a lifestyle.
Not at all.
Not a location.
I just don't. What the hell are they redneck about up there? They don't get their pizza in New York City.
They drive trucks and.
Trust me. They're up there.
Oh, goodness. Well, the hee haw. That's great. Jonathan also says we have a big rivalry hockey game, the 21st South Carolina and Clemson at the Iceplex in Irmo.
There you go.
I don't know about all that. By the way, let's move to hoops real quick here. South Carolina won over Texas A&M. And I'm not just saying this. They beat the shit out of them, but let's be honest. Texas A&M is fucking terrible.
Doesn't matter. They still dominated them. So one of our best players on the shelf. I know they're not any good. That's ifs, buts, and coconuts.
But I mean, the good thing was they blew them out.
Real question to Kale here on this, and Mike too. Where the hell was this shit against Ole Miss? Because Ole Miss is a shit show too.
My theory, and I brought up last show. I thought Frank Martin made a mistake with. I understand he's frustrated. We all are when our injury issues. But to sit there and say there's a dark cloud over Columbia every time you start playing well, this happens. I think that gives the victim mentality. And that Ole Miss game, we played like we played like we're just a bad luck team and woe was us. And we played like we had no kind of fight. And yesterday's game. We went back to playing like we were. So I kind of blame that kind of attitude a little bit on feeling kind of sorry for ourselves after losing Mania. I mean, part of it too is it's adjusting without him. It's the first game without him defensively. So I mean, it was a good win. It was a good win because they are a bad team. We blew them out. It wasn't close. Never was close. But once again, we gotta, you know, that game is not gonna really help us in the net rankings. But if we would have lost it, our season was over pretty much. And our season's kind of teetering in terms of making the NCAA tournament. Now I'm talking about the NIT. Making the NCAA, we have to really go on a run here and find a way to get in those top four spots. And I really think we need to get to the finals of the SEC championship title game or tournament, if not win it all still. So, but can this team do it without Mania? I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. There's too much defense he brings to the team that I think we're going to miss at some crucial times down the stretch, but we'll see.
I would have gladly like taken a win over Ole Miss on Wednesday and let Buzz Williams' Texas A&M basketball team bitch slap the hell out of us on Saturday if we could just trade it for a beaten him in fucking football one time, for the love of God.
Yeah. Another team that you have not beaten in football. Good point, Kale. Let's go to the Clemson game tonight. They played Notre Dame. Amir Sims did not play, but unlike some folks, you roll out the team that you got there. All right. So my bitch with Brad Brownell this week or this game is Alex Hemingway comes off the bench, and this guy gets scores like, what was it, like 16, 17 points? And what does he do that Clemson's been missing all fucking season? He can shoot the three. And yet he's been sitting on the damn bench. Why in God? We would have won at least three more games if this guy would have played. Just terrible. That guy is a complete goofball and has just got to go. He's getting on my damn nerves. I'm telling you right now. Clemson has no hope of making anything. It's a complete shit season.
He might have just found his touch this week, though.
That's bullshit, Kale.
Found his touch this week, shooting around in the Jervy gym up there. Yeah.
Well, here's what I've learned about Kale in this show. I'm gonna get him a Michigan hat for his head and a Brad Brownell t-shirt. We'll get you
bullshit.
Both. Get you both. You will wear that and look like a fucking star, Kale. Telling you.
I'd get some strange looks with that one.
Especially Brad Brownell sitting there on on his shirt. Amir Sims, his Twitter picture is Brad Brownell in like a cruise director hat. That's the one we'd get you. The one where he's sitting there with a cruise director hat on. What is having looking at you like this, like And then you wear the Michigan hat. People be like, what the hell is up with this guy?
He just, I don't know. He has no personality whatsoever. The basketball coaches, I mean, you got to kind of identify. You got to have some kind of, something to identify them by. I mean, Frank Martin, I mean, he's a big personality. I mean, even, Mike Krzyzewski, I mean, even though he's a big personality to me. But Brownell he's just as damn vanilla fucking ice cream as they come.
I interviewed him at Operation Basketball, and he was boring.
He looks like he would be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You haven't gone. You want Shaka Smart, don't you?
Damn right. I'd take Cale Hall at this point. Cale, can you run the basketball program?
I'd run the wheels off of it.
Damn right. I'd take Cale Hall. What's your son doing? I seen your son shooting hoops. Was it yesterday in your Facebook feed, Mike? Get him in there. Maybe we can. We might do better. He could probably look at Alex Hemingway and say, "Oh, that guy can shoot the three. Put him in." That's
there. You go.
That's frustrating as hell. Anyway, a couple more things before we get out of here. As of course, this is the Rob Comrade and Kale Show. We got to thank our patrons. If you want to be a patron of the show, go to robandcomrade.com. We got to change the name of the website, but. We are, of course, the Rob Comrade and Kale Show. Patrons give a dollar or two a month. We appreciate them. And they include Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk, the czar of Clemson Sports, Thomas Dana Young, who is a Furman fan, I'm told, Stacey Hamp, Keith Harrelson, Jamie Phillips, Tabitha Sims, Robert Knight, Positive Mike, Lisa Sinclair Harkins, Jeff Pritchett, Christian Young, and Nathan Medlin. And of course, Sally Donegan as well. And we've got to add our buddy Eddie Hicks, who is our graphic artist, who does all kinds of stuff for us, including if you look up here at the top of the video cast, nice little logo we have up there. All right, so I did that, but I have to ask about the big thing tomorrow night. Jonathan Boatwright, by the way, says, more interesting if Clemson basketball was coached by a can of white paint. That's a good point. Good point, sir. But I tell you what, the tomorrow night is a big night for the Gamecock women's basketball team. They are the top-ranked team in the country. They're welcoming in UConn. Gino Auriemma, the head coach there, is not saying that you're like, what are you laughing at? You laughing at me, Kale?
We always are.
No, you said UConn. I'm like, oh, shit.
Well, you said that, but that's the thing. This team is not as good as they have been. And I think that tomorrow night the Gamecocks will roll. But in the interest of a lot of folks, they still had, I think it was around 1,000 tickets left over for this game. But if that game doesn't sell out, that arena should be packed like the men are playing when they play Kentucky. So not that I can, any Gamecock fan, you know, wants to run their mouth about what the hell I'm saying here, but show up for God's sake.
If we beat their brains in, people will just say, oh, it's just because UConn was down this year. Kind of when we won the national championship over there a couple of years ago, they said, well, you only won it because Mississippi State upset them, UConn, and you didn't have to play them.
And UConn's down a little bit this year.
We earned those fucking Coke bottles.
Yeah, but tomorrow night's a big game for that validation. That's the one thing we have not been able to do is beat UConn. And I know that whatever they're down, but listen, part of the reason why they're down, by the way, the reason why they're down is because the best players are going where? To Don Staley. Okay, those three freshmen we got this year, a lot of times, you know who they were going to? They're going to UConn. And so part of the reason why they're down is because that Don Staley is getting the people, the girls that Gino used to get. He's still getting good people, but we got three of the best freshmen in the country that Don Staley picked up. So, you know, the whole idea, if we slap them around tomorrow night to say, well, they're down, well, they're down because of the fact that, you know, we have something to do with them being down.
All three of your freshmen, by the way, were heavily recruited by UConn. They could have been in UConn jerseys at one point, but they're not. So I think that says a lot for Dawn Staley and what she's doing down there. She is the best coach on campus, period. Not even close.
Adam Westbury, I'm going to take a wager on that, by the way. I think we're going to smack and run him all night. Can I take that one?
He says, y'all won't be UConn. You can't. Yeah, you're right. We won't be UConn.
Yeah, well, I think he's trying to say beat, but who knows?
No, I don't know. He might be a little bit tipsy.
I think what he's saying is that you will not be the next UConn. I think that's where he's going with that.
Who will?
Part of the thing too is that women's basketball is growing, and so more and more programs are trying to put money into women's basketball. When UConn was dominating, there wasn't many programs that were trying to really make women's basketball be important in their program. So UConn would roll over teams, but now more and more teams are, and one of them is down here. I mean, Gamecock women's basketball was not a program that was pouring money into. We hired Don Staley. We made the choice that we're going to go get a coach, we're going to pay her, and we're going to make it a priority. And so more and more programs are doing that, and that makes it tougher to be like UConn, where they just dominated for those long stretches, because now there's more competition, which is good for the sport. I mean, I'm not sure how great it was for the sport with UConn winning every single year with such a big gap. So now there's more teams that can compete with it, makes them more interesting. So
yeah, even Clemson trying to get into the foray a little bit. You know?
Yeah. So
Clemson lost tonight. I can't remember who it was to. They lost 60-58.
Boston College.
Kendall Spray is a hell of a player. Hell of a player. It's supposed to be Cody Thornton up there this year, but Kendall Spray, the transfer in from Austin Peay, is a hell of a young lady out there shooting some threes. So if you're going to go to a Clemson game, that's who you need to watch. Take a tip from old Bob here.
Kendall it was Spray. Boston College.
Boston College.
I heard a little bit of William Quakin beat around the bush on the call this afternoon.
That's fucking terrible. Oh, that's fair enough. My final thing tonight, and I want to put this out there real quick. I have the be sure to stick tomorrow. Watch my show on Fox Sports Radio 1400. I'll have it on my Facebook page here. I will have the head baseball writer for Baseball America. He will be Joe Healy will be joining us tomorrow. The first question I'm going to ask him is, sir, your projections have South Carolina out of the field of 64 right now. Tell us why. We'll get his opinion on that. And that should be some interesting stuff there from him. I don't know where his head is with that. You would think that preseason, she should have South Carolina right there, right, Mike?
You know, it's going to be an interesting season. I'm not sure what to expect. You know, I think from what I heard, I think the Aaron fed a little bit kind of over Twitter. And I think they want to believe in the Gamecocks. But I think it's kind of the junior college kids, you know, is how they're going to go ahead and transition to this level of ball. And, you know, I think they're kind of trying to be cautious a little bit. I think last year scared people off, obviously. So I kind of like where we are in terms of we're not like one sitting there going, hey, these junior college kids can be great. We got them
right.
15th in the country. Look out for them, because then it goes all to hell. I know a lot of Gamecock fans who are just mad in general see this Baseball America ranking and like, oh, we suck in baseball too. Which is like, you know, listen, we may suck in baseball this year. I don't know. I'm not going to sit there and make any promises. But just to look at a ranking in baseball of all sports, which is really at a big margin of error, and just simply give up in the season already and say, oh, well, we're not projected. I guess we're not going. I mean, let's the season play a little bit and see what happens.
Right.
But I like the talent we have. Hopefully it transitions over. Hopefully we stay healthy. Hopefully we got enough pitching. I think we do. You know, Mark Kingston sounds optimistic, but I mean, he's not going to sound like he's not optimistic. I mean, but he thinks he's got a lot of depth and he's got a lot of lineup kind of combinations he can play out there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, yeah, Kale, do you agree with that?
Yeah, you bring in a lot of JUCO players. I mean, there's a lot of variables there, so I can understand it'd be kind of hard to rank someone like that, you know, highly. You just don't know. Just don't know what you're going to get.
You're exactly right on that. We'll preview more baseball on Wednesday. I have to drop this note in here before we get out of here this evening. Of course, we had Jordan Birch go to South Carolina. I can't remember what day it was. We really didn't get to talk about this a good bit. The people that were online that were running their mouths about Jordan Birch, there are two sets of people. One, the people that were bitching about him not making the whatever, I get that. But the people that were for some supposed news outlets that were running their mouths and had no clue, like Comrade's favorite radio host, Mark O'Ryan in the Upstate.
Ryan on air.
Whatever the hell his name is. I just want to take a quick minute here because that guy put stuff out on Twitter that I just shake my head at. And the reason why is because I work in radio during the day, and I'm not trying to say that I'm better than anybody else because I'm not.
Just say you are. But, say you are. No, say
I'm
you
not,
are.
I'm not. But here's my problem with all this, though. People put out so much bullshit that you really don't know what to believe. You really, really don't. And when you see some of this stuff, and Mike and Kale, you've seen this too. This guy put out there that it's an 80-20 that he's going to LSU. The night before, he freaking committed to sending his NLI. It's
he had his ear to the ground, though, Rob. He had his ear to the ground.
You know what? I don't like it when you mock me when you actually fucking agree with me here.
I know. I'm just saying, no. Remember, he had his ear to the ground, and that's what he heard.
I'm not saying that I'm the best by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't put anything – I'll goof on here, but I don't put anything out on Twitter where it's like, you know what? This guy is going here. This guy's going there. Because in reality, nobody knows, especially with this Birch case. This guy was a complete shit show from the – and what I mean by that was this is recruiting. Yeah, no clue. And no clue where this guy was going.
Hey, and the,
you know,
the
way that you did is ridiculous.
The one thing I'll bring up, like last week I said this too, okay? The idea that he's a drama queen, like he wasn't – I just don't see that. He was trying to make it – I'm not sure what the story is behind it. Like he doesn't talk to – like drama queens want attention, and they want to go to the press, and they want to tweet out. He did none of that stuff, okay? It was dramatic because he was so quiet about it that everybody else came up with all their own little theories. Like, oh, I think, you know. But he it wasn't him doing that. The only thing he did was he couldn't – I mean, I don't even know because he hasn't said anything, but because he waited and he went on visits and whatever, but he wasn't trying to – He was honestly trying to make a decision. He wasn't trying to bring attention to himself. The attention naturally goes to him because of the kind of player he is. But he wasn't out there tweeting and like, I'm thinking about LSU this week. Oh, no, I love Georgia now.
It's not.
Know, but he was trying to make a decision.
By idiots like this guy from the upstate.
Exactly. But that's the whole point. But it's not him. It wasn't
like that. And
but it wasn't Jordan Birch, though.
If you subscribe, and I mean this with all sincerity, if you subscribe to any of these recruiting sites because you think you're getting a recruiting update, ladies and gentlemen, let me help you with this, okay? The man that started recruiting in the state, in the region, was the guy that I worked for 5 years, Phil Kornblut. He gives you the same shit that you pay $12.99 a month for at thebigspur.com or wherever, tigerillustrated.com. You get all of that as far as recruiting news from Phil Kornblut. He puts it all up for free on sportstalksc.com. And you know what? When he tells you generally somebody's going somewhere, which he doesn't really do that, he tells you at the end of the article or whatever, this kid is leaning towards three schools. Or he's narrowed it down to four schools or whatever. You can go there and get the information for free and stop funding these freaking idiots. It's just stupid. It's just absolutely stupid. And the final thing on Mark Ryan in the upstate, by the way, if you hang out on his Twitter account a little bit, he'll tell you about how he won an SCBA award for the best show. I hate to break it to you, but nobody enters that fucking thing. It's like being the world's tallest midget. No one enters the SCBAs. You know why? Because people that actually work for real radio groups don't do that because we don't spend the money. You don't spend $100 like, to have other.
It's like an ACC football title. It's like an ACC football title.
I'd listen to Walt any day over him.
Well, and
Walt blocked me on Twitter.
Twitter. He blocked me one time because I said something that pissed him off. But then, it, like over the summer, he had a day or two where he gave everybody amnesty. I got back on.
Oh, I gotta see. I'll check. I'll check and see if I'm unblocked.
You had to ask to be unblocked for the amnesty thing. And I did. Because, I mean, I have no problem. I like old Walt. He tells it like it is.
Can you tweet him, Cal, and say, unblock the comrade, at least for a week?
I can. Okay. Jonathan Boatwright says, I don't get why people will get their dander up about an 18-year-old does. I'll tell you why. Hello, he's fucking good. Yeah. I mean, he's down 5-star. We don't get that many of those down at the University of South Carolina. That's why we got our dander up. And if he hadn't come here, would I have been pissed off? Oh, hell yeah. I'd have been pissed off. I mean, that's why we got our dander up. We need players like that. And last week, I was thinking about it when I said, you know, Muschamp, to just to tell him, hey, shit or get off the pot. And then you got to think about it. You know, okay, we're going to rush him to make a decision. Well, I mean, what would have happened, say, you know, 2 years from now? We lose the game to Tennessee, where we give up 350 passing yards, and you know, we look back at it and say, well, you didn't generate any kind of pass rush in that game. That's why you gave up 350 passing yards to Tennessee. You lost the game. And they say, well, you know, you could have had Jordan Birch, but you got impatient. You yanked his offer, and he ended up going to LSU.
Well, anyway, on that front, I'm not going to tell you who to listen to, but I am going to tell you, if you listen to certain people, they're full of shit. They are completely full of shit. Mike, who were the others that were stupid? Let's out them all now. I know he was one of the first. Was it Visor? Was Visor spinning shit? It was terrible. So I mean, just watch what
I mean. God. Everyone's trying to make their own little kind of conspiracy theory. I mean, because everyone's trying to figure out, you know, but it's just kind of.
Mark Ryan wasn't the only one who said it was 80-20 LSU either.
I'm hearing LSU, and he's a silent commit to LSU now. And
the reason why I bring up Mark Ryan is because
I saw him hanging around in Coco's shower.
I heard that. Never mind. I won't say that here. I'll be good. Anyway, no, I just watch what you read and stuff like that. And I think it's because the radio folks that I've been around have been some of the more respected folks, and we kind of laugh in silence at some of these guys. It's just like nobody knows on the recruiting front. Just let it go, for God's sakes. Just freaking idiots. All right. Gentlemen, do you have anything else for this week's show? Since we are hee-haw, what'd they do at the end of hee-haw, Kale? Do you remember? Didn't they sing a song on their way out? I can't remember.
They came in out of cornfield. Yeah, they did. They all got together.
Find out what it is. Kale next on Wednesday will sing the hee-haw open, and I will sing the hee-haw close. And the comrade, I don't know what he's gonna do. He's from New York. He doesn't know what the hell hee-haw is.
Okay, I'll be out there.
All right, gentlemen, I appreciate you doing the show. And with that, the show is a wrap.
Bye, guys.
All right.
See ya.